Welcome to our service for the second Sunday of Advent. Our theme today is the great line of the Old Testament prophets, stretching from Isaiah in the Old Testament to John the Baptist in the New. The great theme of Advent generally is hope, and so we begin with Jan Struver's lovely hymn, Lord of All Hopefulness. The Advent Kyries. Restore us, O God of hosts. Come, Lord Jesus. Give us peace and strength in our days. Come, Christ Jesus. Be present with us and we shall be saved. Come, Lord Jesus, and do not be slow. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, in what we have done and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please you in newness of life, to the honour and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the second Sunday of Advent. O Lord, raise up, we pray, your power, and come among us, and with great might succour us, that whereas through our sins and wickedness we are grievously hindered in running the race that is set before us, your bountiful grace and mercy may speedily help and deliver us, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honour and glory, now and for ever. Amen.
Darlleniad o lyfr y proffwyd Eseia. O'r cyff a adewir i Jesse, fe ddaw blagurin, ac fe dîf cangen o'i wraiddef, bydd ysbryd yr arglwydd yn gorffwys arno yn ysbryd o'i thineb a deall, yn ysbryd cyngor a grym, yn ysbryd gwybodaeth ac ofn yr arglwydd. Ymhyfryda yn ofn yr arglwydd, nid wrth yr hyn a wel y barna, ac nid wrth yr hyn a glyw y dyfarna, ond fe farna tlawd yn gyfiawn, a dyfarni'n uniawn i dylodion y ddeiar. Fe deri'r ddeiar a gwialen ei enau ac a gwynt y wyfusau, fe ladd y rhai anwyr. Cyfiawnder fydd gwregus ei lwynau a ffyddlondeb yn rhwymyn am ei ganol. Fe drig y blaidd gyda'r oen, fe orwedd y llewpad gyda'r myn. Bydd y llo a'r llew yn cydbori a bachgen bychan yn ei harwain. Bydd y fuwch a'r arth yn gyfeillion a'i llydnod yn cydorwedd. Bydd y llew yn bita gwair fel uch, bydd plentyn sugno yn chwarae wrth dwll yr asp a baban yn estyn ei law dros ffair wyber. Ni wnaed ddrwg na difrod yn fy holl fynydd sanctaidd. Canis fel y llenwyr dyfroedd y môr i'w ymylon, felly y llenwyr y ddeiar a gwybodaeth yr arglwydd. Ac yn y dydd hwnnw bydd gwreiddi'n Jesse yn sefyll fel baner i'r bobloedd, bydd y cenhedloedd yn ofyn ag ef, a bydd ei drigfan yn ogoneddus. Dyma air yr arglwydd. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
The Gospel reading is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter, beginning at the first verse. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke, when he said, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Here ends the reading. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. When the Apostle Peter is speaking to the 11 about a replacement for Judas, he says, "One of the men who have accompanied us throughout the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection." It's clear from this, and indeed from the whole of the New Testament, consistently in the Gospels and in the Epistles, that the apostles feel that you cannot tell the story of the Gospel without including the figure of John the Baptist. In today's Gospel reading from Matthew, as in Mark's Gospel, John is very briefly introduced into the story. He just appears. At that time, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." So far as we can tell, John preached this same message to everyone. In the ministry of Jesus, we are familiar with individual sinners who repent of their own specific sins. people like the tax collector and thief, Zacchaeus, or Mary Magdalene. Without doubt, there will have been similar examples among those who came to be baptized by John, but it does not especially appear that his ministry was aimed at individual sinners. This was a call to the whole nation, and it appears that John's message was not so much that they had all been wicked and that they needed to repent because of the specific things they had done wrong. Rather, it was that the kingdom of God was drawing near and that everybody needed to be ready. Repentance was what you needed to do in order to be ready, and John's baptism symbolized that readiness. This was a ministry that presumably would have made little impact if there had not already been an expectation. We are not sure exactly what was the state of messianic expectation in the time of Jesus and John. We tend to understand it politically, more or less. The people of Judah were subject to the imperial power of Rome, as they had been subject to different empires for the last several hundred years. They wanted to be autonomous and free, and they hoped the Messiah would usher in that freedom. But we can exaggerate the extent to which the Messiah was expected to be a purely political figure. If you look at today's Old Testament reading, another of the lovely prophecies of Isaiah of Jerusalem, you will see that messianic expectation had always had a dimension that went beyond the purely political. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. This is Isaiah's picture of the Messiah's reign, the kingdom of God, and it could not be much clearer that it could never be ushered in by a merely political Messiah. This kingdom that John says has drawn near is a spiritual one. In truth, it had always been so in Israel and Judea. The great Jewish leaders from Moses to David had always been spiritual figures, distinguished above all by their relationship to the Lord, the God of Israel. Their power stemmed from their faithfulness in that relationship, and the well-being of the people, political and otherwise, depended always on their faithfulness to the Lord also. And hence, to be prepared, to be ready for the coming kingdom, what was required was not to arm yourself in any physical sense, but to be ready spiritually. Repent, cries John, so that you may be ready for the kingdom which is drawn near. The Messiah, says Isaiah, shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. You can hear in these words how closely Jesus understood the teaching of the prophet. This is the world as it does not immediately appear to the sense of sound and sight. If we look around us, it does not look as though the poor will be blessed. If we listen to the clamour of the world, it does not sound as though the meek will inherit the earth. But Isaiah's Messiah will somehow judge with a deeper knowledge and can be obtained merely by sight and hearing. His kingdom will be one of righteousness and equity. He'll be angry, of course, and his anger will be terrible. We can hear the righteous anger of John in our gospel reading. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? The Messiah will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to sort the wheat from the chaff. He will kill the wicked with the breath of his mouth, says Isaiah. Except, of course, as John makes clear, and as we struggle to believe even of our own sinfulness and wickedness, all that is required from us, all that is required from any of John's hearers, is that we turn away from our wickedness and repent. John knew quite clearly that the Sadducees and Pharisees were not coming to him because they were in a state of true repentance. Bear fruit, he tells them, worthy of repentance. In this Advent season, John's call to repentance rings down the centuries to us. And if this story is to be believed, it is we, the good religious people, we who look most like the Sadducees and Pharisees, upon whom the strictest judgment will be visited. We are those who in our baptism have acknowledged the depth of our sin and our need for forgiveness. Those who know, or at least ought to know, that the Lord is gracious. Ye that know the Lord is gracious, ye for whom a cornerstone stands, of God elect and precious, laid that ye may build thereon. See that on that sure foundation ye a living temple raise, towers that may tell forth salvation, walls that may re-echo praise. Living stones by God appointed, each to his allotted place, kings and priests by God anointed, shall ye not declare his grace? Ye, a royal generation, tell the tidings of your birth, tidings of a new creation to an old and weary earth. Tell the praise of him who called you out of darkness into light, broke the fetters that enthralled you, gave you freedom, peace and sight. Tell the tale of sins forgiven, strength renewed and hope restored, till the earth in tune with heaven praise and magnify the Lord. Amen.
I danced in the morning when the world was begun, and I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun. I came from heaven, but I danced on earth. In Bethlehem I had my birth. Dance then, wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he. Never.
Now it's time for our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by Helen. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. En tad anoit in the nevoit sancte dia de enu, deled de dernas gunella de washlis, meges in an air vechli ar ar hevid. Deroni heddiw ein bara beinyddiol, ymaddai i ni ein dyledion fel ymaddai o nina ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwa ni brofedigaeth, eith y gwared ni rhag drwg, can i seiddo ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen.
Advent brings us closer to Christ who is with us. We are reminded that no one is beyond the reach of God's love. We wait with joy for the Lord, the hope of the world, and reach out with love to our sisters and brothers in need, sharing our hope for a world transformed. Almighty God, we pray for your church today, gathering throughout the world to praise you and to hear your holy word. Give us a sense of expectation as we come, and inspiration as we go. We pray for your blessing on those who lead services in all the churches in the Diocese of St. David's, and especially Matthew and Judith, as they guide us on our spiritual and worldly journey through Advent, until we celebrate together the birth of your Son on Christmas Day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, today our prayers for this troubled world are for a solution to war and conflict, especially in Ukraine, a resolution of the migrant crisis, and positive progress to recent climate change negotiations. Govern the hearts and minds of all world leaders and those in authority, that they may act justly, honestly, and according to your will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Nefol dad, gweddiwn dros ein teuluoedd, ffrindiau a chymdogion sydd yn gweld tymor yr Advent fel cyfnod o brysurdeb a gofid wrth iddynt paratoi ar gyfer y Nadolig. Helpwch ni gynnig esiampl da sydd yn adlewyrchu gwir ystyr y tymor, sef paratoi ar gyfer geni'r Iesu. Cofiwn hefyd am rheini nad ydynt yn edrych ymlaen at y dathliadau oherwydd prinder arian, digartrefedd neu unigrwydd. Arglwydd, yn dy drigaredd, gwrando ein gweddi. Merciful God, we pray for all those in hospital or ill at home, those struggling with despair or depression, and for all who care for them. In a moment of silence, please pray for those on your mind at this time. Comfort and heal all who suffer. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for those who have died recently or at this time of year. Be near to all who mourn and comfort them with the knowledge that in the coming of your Son Jesus, the gates of heaven have been opened wide for all who accept him as Lord and Saviour. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, during this season of Advent, as we move towards the festivities of Christmas, we pray that peace will flow from all of our actions and interactions this week. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you. Search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all a song in itself is not what you require. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, but it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
May God increase in us our love for one another. May Christ Jesus teach us how to live in the light of God. May the Holy Spirit strengthen our hearts in holiness as we ready ourselves for the coming of the Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.